Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Manxiety Podcast.
We're your hosts, Ashad and Matt.
Before we get started, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you can get notified of new episodes.
If you want to share this with your friends, you can find us on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This week, we'll be back to finances. Give you guys a little sneak peek of finances a couple weeks ago. And now we're ready to jump right back in and do part two, the remix.
Oh God.
I'm just kidding. That's not the remix. It's actually part two.
I mean, Ashad was gone for like, what, 4 weeks or something because you had to learn about finances. He's like, I'm not ready to give this talk.
Yeah. So what I did within those 4 weeks was just buy a whole bunch of finance books, Finances for Dummies. Uh-huh. And I had to read them so I could talk to all of you guys.
He actually got his MBA online in those 5 weeks.
He's ready to go. Pretty crazy. Also my JD and my MD.
All right, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
I have the trifecta now.
the trinity. The doctor.
Anyway, Matt, what aspect of finances do you want to talk about this week?
So, you know, finances is so broad. We're talking about it, and the overall goal of
so broad
it so vague is to get everybody to a place where they're less worried about money, so that they're less like stressed out on a daily basis about money, and then they can live their life a little bit more freely and have less anxiety and stress. So, one of the first things you need when talking about finances and money is you need a job. So today,
I don't know about that, Matt.
What?
Stimulus money, dude. I don't need a job to get stimulus.
Get those
money.
Stimmies, dude. Yeah, you do. Well, you have to have filed taxes. Because if you didn't
$0,
if you didn't file taxes
for $0,
you don't actually get the money, which means you have to file. No, which is if you haven't filed, definitely file at home, even if you're unemployed. Yeah, definitely do that. So today we'll be talking about the interview process and trying to get to that stage of getting a job. So kind of like a little bit about applying for jobs and then. Interviewing and then sharing some fun stories that recently happened to one of us being me, about interviewing.
Yeah, if my boss is listening, I am not interviewing. I'm still here. Don't worry about it. I don't think my boss listens. But if she does, I'm not leaving yet.
Yet? Oh, no.
Anyway, Matt, so, well, not Matt, but all of our listeners, yeah, I mean, if you have a job, maybe you're looking for another job. If you don't have a job, maybe it's your first job, or maybe you're laid off. It's not your first job, but you're looking for one. You know, we'll go through all of that, sort of the anxiety that comes with searching for a job and the stress, the anxiety and stress that comes with actually interviewing and then starting at a new job. You know, all of those things can be very, very stressful. I know at the height of my anxiety, one of the things that I don't want to say put me over the edge, but sort of got me to that point, that high point, was the fact that I was changing teams, right? Within the company, I was moving to another team. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what would happen. You know, it's a very stressful time, and that just added on to all of the other stresses going on in my life, and you know, sort of had that snowballing effect, right? It just kept growing because of that. So, Matt, tell us about your journey in searching for a job, since
I was searching for a job. What are you talking about? How dare you insinuate that? No. So first of all, applying for a job.
Sorry, not searching for a job. Tell me about your past experiences with on job boards.
Yes. There you yes. Go. Yeah. Sure. The old Craigslist job post. Yes.
Yeah.
No. So one thing to realize with looking for a new job right now is it's going to be tough because a lot of other people are looking for jobs and a ton of people are just like doing the shotgun approach of applying to every single position available. So, you know, you can go on like LinkedIn Jobs and set up like Easy Apply, where you literally click like 2-3 buttons. You know, you put your resume in there, your contact information, and then click, 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 and it applies. So when you look at a lot of those
on Indeed as well.
Yes, yeah, one click apply.
And Monster, I think, too.
Yeah. So I think it's like Indeed, Monster, ZipRecruiter, LinkedIn. Those are like the big ones. There might be others that I'm not aware of. So whatever you know you're using to look for a job in that platform, you have to realize that they're getting a ton of requests and a ton of leads. And specifically on LinkedIn, if you go and you look at a job, right, you can see the description and everything. It'll say sometimes, I think if you have premium or maybe not, it'll say how many other people have applied. And some will say like 600 people applied. And you're like, well, shit, yep. Like if 600 people already applied and I throw my resume into the mix, are they even going to look at it? Because they're probably within that first 100 people or so, they probably figured out a candidate they want to hire, right? Like, why would they interview 600 people? They're trying to get the ball rolling. A lot of times companies in need, they want to fill that position quickly, right?
Yeah, but I think what happens a lot of times, Matt, especially with like these newer systems and applying through Indeed and all this, is they have like AI and computer models that'll basically filter out people, right? So like even though 600 people applied, they have like a computer that, you know, looks through the resume and decides, you know, does this person have, you know, on their resume, does it say X, Y, and Z? Or how many years of experience do they have in like a certain field or like, you know, whatever it is. And then like out of that 600, maybe they eliminate half of it already before anyone even gets to it. Right. And okay. Then there's another like half that gets eliminated because, you know, maybe the first person that's looking at it is just looking at years of experience of something, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, a lot of it does go down. Even though, you know, seeing that number, obviously, you know, it can be very, very stressful. And it's like, you know, like you said, is anyone going to actually see it? You got to keep in mind that, you know, as long as you're qualified, more than likely you'll hopefully make it through the computer models and all that other stuff. So, you know, you might be one of 150, right?
Yeah.
That people actually look at.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And there are, you can sort by positions that have less applicants or that are newer positions, and you could be within like the first 10 people to apply. And I know like on LinkedIn, if you apply and they like download your resume, they'll actually tell you somebody downloaded your resume or somebody checked out your profile. Like it'll track some of it for you. Yep. But with applying to a job, it's kind of like if we apply it to something that a lot of people are somewhat aware of and have used, it would be like dating apps, right? You're probably looking at like 100 to 500 profiles a day, and you're maybe only swiping on like 10, right?
I've never used a dating app.
Right, I know. That's why I said most people. Calm down.
But I think if I did, I would just swipe right.
On everybody?
Shotgun approach, right?
And that's what happens with applying to jobs, which is the other reason why when you see 600 candidates, 500 of them might be unqualified, and they're just like, hey, I'm taking my shot, right?
Yep.
So it can be very very disheartening. And at first, I saw like you see all these like data flows on like Reddit, like I applied to 3,000 jobs and I got a response from 30, and of those 30, I got two interviews, and of those two interviews, I got rejected. You know, you're like, holy shit, like those are really bad numbers. But it's partially because you're doing that shotgun approach and just applying to everything. So I was like, how the hell does somebody apply to 3,000 jobs? And then when I started looking into it, it's like, oh yeah, LinkedIn easy apply. That's pretty, that's pretty easy to
hit that. I mean, people probably build bots and shit too.
Yeah, any open position, just apply.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy enough, right?
Yeah.
Just go and hit apply. But no, I agree. So that's definitely one aspect of it. But, you know, you don't have to apply for jobs online. There's still more traditional methods. Going on a company's website, there are companies that won't post jobs on big websites. So if there's a specific company you want to apply for, a lot of times going on their company's website and applying from there will probably get you ahead. Even if it's a company that maybe is on, you know, LinkedIn or one of the other ones, if they have a career site and you can apply on their website, you might be able to get a little bit further ahead.
Yeah, they might see it sooner because they have to pay for the services like LinkedIn, and they have to pay for job postings.
Yep.
And they're supposed to pay per like how many clicks they get. So a lot of times LinkedIn can be like, well, we sent you 500 applications. You owe us X amount of money. And they're like, well, yeah, but these applications are trash because everybody's hitting easy apply or one click apply or whatever. So,
yep.
Or, you know, even better, if you know somebody that works at the company, you know, tap into your network and try and get hired through that, right? Hey, can you give my resume to somebody at your work and see if I'm qualified? And if they go, no, you need this skill or you need whatever, at least you get that feedback versus no response.
Yeah, it's not even that. If you know someone at the company, usually if they refer you and they know the person, like the hiring manager, your chances skyrocket. You know, I have two friends that I referred to our company, and well, there were more that applied, right? There were three or four of them, but two of them I referred and they got the job. One of them I referred and unfortunately the interview didn't go very well, so he didn't. But I mean, he was moved up right to the top of the list for interviewing, and he actually got an interview because I had referred him. So that's the thing, you know, if you know someone, definitely ups your chances. That's why networking is so important. You know, there's the old saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. And it's very, very relevant. I mean, you know, I've seen people get hired at our company, or most of the people that I see get hired at our company, like they know someone at the company. And that obviously doesn't automatically get them, you know, the job, but it gets them through the door, it gets them into an interview. And then once there, at that point, you need to, you know, sort of perform for yourself and speak for yourself and, you know, sell yourself, not in a weird way, but, you know, sell yourself to the company. But at least it'll get you through some of those steps.
Yeah. So if you can get through the big like security of just like these random job websites, and if you can get your foot in the door by either knowing somebody or actually getting an interview, right, the next step is going to be going to that interview. And with COVID right now, a lot of them are going to be phone interviews. It's going to be a lot of Zoom interviews probably.
Yep.
Right. And a lot of positions are going to be remote, and they're not even going to have you come into the office at all, which is kind of a very interesting way to onboard right now, given like what's going on in the world.
Yep.
But if you have like anxiety about it, the good thing with phone interviews is you can write everything down and you can practice. Well, you should always practice what you're going
to
say, but you can write everything down.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's the most important part of interviewing?
Oh, practicing.
Practice.
Yeah, 100%. Like, because you may be going into an interview and you think you did well, or maybe you made like one or two mistakes, right? But the person that they interview right after you, it may be their 15th interview and they've gotten 14 other rejections and they've got it down, right? When they say, who, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, their spiel is perfect, right? They've practiced it in the mirror 500 times. They know exactly what they're going to say. They don't say or so or stutter at all. And it just sounds beautiful.
Yep. And practicing also helps reduce your anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've done it before, right, like, if you've practiced one in the mirror with like most of the questions, two, hopefully you've practiced with someone else, and three, especially in today, you know, today where it's either phone interviews or Zoom interviews, you've actually set up a Zoom meeting with someone and interviewed like a friend or something and interviewed on there. So you're familiar with the format, you're familiar with the content, you know, your anxiety is going to be hopefully non-existent or very, very low because you've done it already, right? I've already said all I'm going to say in this format. The only thing that's different is the person sitting on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, you can feel more confident and you can hopefully have a better interview, you know, speak better and all of that stuff.
Yeah. And asking for feedback when you go through that process is really vital as well. Like I've had phone interviews and I've said, you know, do you have any feedback for me? Like, is there anything I can improve on? And they're like, well, you talked a little bit fast. And it's hard because you're on the phone, right? You're not in front of somebody. So it's hard to gauge like when to take a breath, when to pause. Like, let me look at their face. How are they reacting to me, right? You're just spewing into this void of the phone. And you're just like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep going. And oh, they wanted, you know, this information. And a lot of that comes from being unprepared. Because if they say, tell us about a time that you got into a struggle with a coworker. And first you got to think about it. And then you're thinking about it for like 3-4 seconds. You go, oh shit, I need to respond. I can't be quiet. You go, well, there was this one guy, a shot, and he was mean to me on a podcast once. And he was a real big bully, but he's really a good friend. And because he's a good friend, you know, we got through it and now we're really good friends. And somebody's like, what the fuck are you saying? because you're clearly not prepared. And I've done that in interviews, and I've asked for feedback, and they told me to slow down, take a breath, relax, calm down, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's completely fine to ask for a minute, but, like, if the interviewer asks you a question, you can say, can I please have a moment to think about it? There's nothing wrong with that.
Or just do the classic, that's a really good question. So you have, like, a few seconds.
Take a drink of water. That's why I guess we're getting into interview tips, but so anytime I go to an interview, if they offer me water or something, I will always take it. The reason is because if they ask a question that I need a couple seconds to think about it, they ask the question, and I'm like, I'm sorry, my throat is parched, you know. You open up the water, you take a drink, you're thinking about it this whole time, mm-hmm. and you put it down, and hopefully you have a good enough answer at that point.
Next level, I just bring one of those Sparklets 5-gallon drums in with me. I pop that bad boy on the desk, and I got 5 gallons to go. I can pause forever. We're good.
And that way you can go and use the restroom to mid-interview. I don't think you should be doing that.
I also bring a Chipotle burrito, so I just have to take a dump in between it, so I get an extra 20 minutes.
No, but mock interviews are very important. And, you know, I talked about Academy of Finance last finance episode, which was that, you know, program at my high school that I was able to participate in. But one part of that program was mock interviews. And so we did mock interviews with adults who are, you know, in the job force and in the workforce, and they gave us feedback. Actually, I was lucky enough to my old teacher reached out to me earlier this year and asked me to participate in mock interviews. So I, you know, interviewed a student via Zoom a couple of weeks ago. And that was very cool, you know, sort of giving back to the community and sort of giving back to something that helped me or that has helped me to this day. But it is very important. You know, I sat down with him, interviewed him like I would any candidate at my work, and then gave him feedback on it. And, you know, it helps. Because when you're doing it yourself in the mirror, there are things that you might not be able to catch. There are things you might say that might sound okay to you, but maybe if someone else asks it, it's not okay, or whatever it may be. Just having a second opinion is very important.
Yeah. If you don't have a friend to do it with for whatever reason right now, you know, you can just record yourself on your phone, either video or audio. You can even maybe start recording a podcast, and then when you listen back and you edit it, think of all the stupid things that you've said and then try to cut them out, and, you know, work on yourself a little bit. Yeah, I mean, practice is the most important thing, because, like I said, if you're going to your first interview, you're going to be rusty, whereas somebody else on their 10th or their 20th or maybe their 50th interview, right? Maybe they're just not, it's not clicking for them, and it finally does click and they give an amazing interview and you're just kind of left to the wayside. And the other thing is with practice is you really want to, I guess, like, research the company, know what they do, right? Especially with the shotgun approach where you're like, oh, I'm going to apply for like a, let's say you want to apply for like project manager, right? Something kind of general. You apply for a project manager at 100 different companies. And then you go to the interview and they're like, yeah, so what's your experience managing, you know, healthcare systems? And you're like, healthcare? What the fuck? What do you guys do? And it's like Kaiser. And you're like, well, shit, like, I should have known that you're a healthcare company. You know what I mean? But a lot of times you get responses and you have no idea what the company does because they're kind of small. So you should research it. Make sure you're kind of aware of their product. I've had follow-up interviews where people will say, hey, what have you done in the last 2 weeks that I've talked to you to learn more about our product? And normally, because I do it, I'm like, oh, I downloaded like an online certification course and I ran through it and I've learned about this type of your product here. And I could tell you all about like the onboarding process for clients based in this tool. And a lot of times it's like, holy shit, like, why would, you know, because it's kind of just like a throw out question, like to see if they can catch you. Like, oh, this person actually took the time to go above and beyond to learn more about us. And a lot of times, you know, you probably don't want to do that. Like if you just look up the company name, because then you're going to be spending all your time learning about random companies. You want to do it once you're at least a little bit hooked into the process. And if you can do it and you do it well, you're going to stand out above everybody else by far, because you're going to be seen as somebody who's actually like the go-getter that they're looking for, who's actually willing to commit a little bit of and effort into putting their best foot forward. So,
and it also leaves a good impression.
Yeah.
So if you know a little bit about their company and like even repeat it back to them, even when they don't ask you, right? So if they ask you a different question regarding whatever, and you're able to incorporate something about the company into it, you know, you're going to be more memorable because you did your research. They can see that you've done your research and you actually want to be there, right? You want to work at this company. You're learning about the company that you want to work for.
Yeah. Also, know who you're interviewing with. So when I interviewed at my current company, like 5 years ago now, I got assigned one of the technical recruiters, right? So they just gave me the name. They said, you're going to interview with this guy. So I looked him up. So I had his name, looked him up on LinkedIn, went on LinkedIn, right? Found his profile. I did this in a private browser, so he didn't know I was looking at him.
Well, so, sorry, before you continue, I actually do it with my own account. And the reason I do that is so that they can see that I've looked them up. Because they see, right, that everyone has looked them up. So it's a way for you to, you want to stay relevant, right? You want them to know your name. You want them to be familiar with your name so that when they're looking at, when they're talking about the position, when they're looking at resumes, whatever it is, the more they see your name, the more it's going to remind them, right, of who you are, make you familiar.
Yeah, I believe.
So I always try to keep it.
I think LinkedIn now won't let you look up on private browsing anymore. This is, you have to sign in if you're looking at a full profile, which is good, right? You actually should do that. Like that's better advice. But back then I didn't. But it worked out for me because it turns out the guy was in a fraternity. Right? So like, oh, wow. Oh shit, that's cool. Turns out he's in my fraternity. And I'm like, what? So he went to a different school, right, from me, but we're in the same fraternity. So I'm like, oh shit. So what I did was, because I had done a lot of volunteer work, because me and Ashad were in the same fraternity, right? And with other chapters, right, I reached out to one of their graduate advisors that I had worked with, and I said, hey, do you know this guy? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah, I know him. I was in the chapter with him. He's in my like family line or whatever. And I was like, oh, really cool. I have an interview with him tomorrow at my company, right? Because I was a contractor, so I was applying for a full-time position within the same company. And, you know, is there anything I should know? Anything that he's interested in or whatever? And because I had that relationship with the graduate advisor, he called him and was like, hey, this guy you're interviewing tomorrow, he's a really good candidate. I've worked with him. Like, he's great. You should give him whatever he wants, right? So I'm like, cool, whatever. It's already prepped. So our interview, like our formal interview for it, was literally just we walked around the campus and he told me like kind of real shit. He was like, so this is kind of the range that we're looking at. This is what we want. And he gave me a number. And I said, you know, I read some like, you know, interviewing book, and it's like always ask for more. So I was like, you know, can you do better? And he came back the next day with a higher number.
Nice.
And then, you know, I came in at a really good place. Now the job itself was stressful as fuck and was one of the reasons for my anxiety. And they probably thought I got all this really good praise, so I was gonna do this amazing job, and they slammed me with projects.
What job was this?
The one I'm currently in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I like, as a new engineer there, got like 3 projects instead of the normal 1, because they were like, oh, you've already been here for 6 months. You can do a great job. I'm like, fuck. Anyways, the point is I was able to leverage the connections that I've made and like take a shot at it, right? And not everybody's going to get that opportunity, because for me, the stars kind of aligned in that situation, right? I look at this profile. It just turns out we're in the same fraternity. I know somebody in that chapter. I know somebody I can call. So on and so forth. But if you can find little things that you link up with, like, oh, we went to the same school, or we were both in different fraternities, or we were both in ASU, or not ASUCI, student government, whatever their student government is, right? Or maybe they both did like volunteer work for X, Y, and Z, or maybe you like the same brands, right? Whatever you can have as a connection to somebody is going to help further along. Because if you get stuck and you have like word vomit, you're just like, oh shit, I don't know what to say. And then they go, oh, ask me questions. You could go, well, you know, I want to be at a company.
Notice on your profile.
Yeah.
X, Y, and Z. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you could. You could also be like, you know, I want to be at this company long term. Like, I've done this before where I said, you know, I noticed that you've been at the company for 16 years. How has the company taken care of you? What type of retirement plans do you have? And at this particular job, the hiring manager was like, how old are you? Because you look really young and people don't normally ask about retirement accounts. And, you know, they can't ask you how old you are. So he's like, actually, don't answer that question. And I was like, no, that's fine. But, like, I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, the point is, it's like, you want to ask really good questions as well in the interview.
Right.
And have a few prepared. Like, maybe what's the work culture at the job? Because if you're somebody who has anxiety, right, not only is interviewing such a fucking monumental process sometimes, it's like, once you get the job, then how do you feel about it?
You got to know what to expect. Another good one that I've used before is, what does a regular day on this job look like? No, and they can walk you through it because, I mean, the job description should tell you what you'll be doing. But when you ask that, you know, they'll say, you know, you might be answering emails for X part of the day. You might be going on, you know, client calls, whatever it may be. You'll be working on databases. You'll be doing testing of X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. At least you'll get a better idea of what your day is going to look like. And maybe you decide you don't like it, or maybe you do, whatever it may be. But similar to Matt's story, I have one too, where actually the current company I'm at. So I applied to this company right out of college. And at the time, I sort of did the shotgun approach where I was just applying to any and every job I could because I didn't want to move back home, right? And like, if I didn't have a job, I didn't have money to, you know, stay out in Irvine and live there. So I had to move back home. So I was just applying for everything I found. And, you know, the position I initially applied for was a tech systems engineer or IT support engineer, I think, something along those lines. And so I go into the interview, right, for this job. And before I went into the interview, I looked up the company, small company, I hadn't heard of it before. You know, I looked up all of the executives at the company, and when I was looking up the CEO on LinkedIn, I noticed that it said that I'm two connections away from the CEO. I was like, wow, that's interesting. I wonder who I know. So then I looked up who the middle connection was, and it was one of my professors who does a lot of leadership courses for, like, big companies, but he was teaching our... Matt, do you remember which class it was?
Which professor was it?
The bald guy that made it, that did the push-ups. He's a world record holder.
Strategic management.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bill Morris, dude. He's a beast. I love that class. One of my favorite classes.
Yeah, that was an awesome class. His name is Bill Morris. He still does all that. He I think he holds the world record or something for most number of push-ups or something.
Most number of consecutive sit-ups. And sit-ups. You would not guess the number at home. So we're not going to play the guessing game. I'll just tell you it was 22,000.
Yeah. Anyway, so I call him, or I think I emailed him, right? And this was after I was done with his class. So I wasn't even in the class anymore. But he told us, he's like, if you guys ever need anything, reach out. So I email him and I'm like, hey, I'm applying for a company. I was on LinkedIn, saw him two connections away, told him the whole story. Can you put in a good word? So then I go to the interview. Finish the interview, you know, I think like 2 weeks later, they called me back for the job. And I didn't even hear about it, right? I think he said he'll take care of it. I just never asked him. And that was that. So then I get hired for the job. And one day I'm talking to the CTO, who's the hiring manager. And he's like, dude, so after your interview, he's like, I'm sitting in our weekly executive meeting. And our CEO, Scott, says, hey, there's a guy named Ashad applying for the job. You should hire him. And he's like, yeah, we'd already decided we were hiring you. So he's like, yeah, you know, we already made an offer. But I was like, you know, out of nowhere, it just happened. And Bill, the professor, he didn't even know, you know, the CEO. He just said that he added CEOs in the area because he did, you know, those executive or not executive, but like the leadership courses or whatever. So you would just add a whole bunch of CEOs and then, you know, talk to them and engage with them and stuff. So sort of out of nowhere, right? He didn't even know the guy, but just because he was connected to him, I asked him, he sent him a message. It put my name in, you know, out there at the company. And even though it didn't directly lead to me getting the job, it could have, right? They'd already decided on it, but it would have helped. So that's the thing. Those things help a lot. Something else, before I give it back to you, Matt, and before we start wrapping things up, when I was in Academy of Finance, something that we learned, and I do to this day, well, when I say to this day, I haven't interviewed in a while, so I haven't done it in a while. But something that we learned were thank you notes. Okay. And writing a thank you note at the end of the interview to give to the interviewer. And I've done this for every single job that I've ever applied to ever since high school and learning this. And so the way it works, right, you would keep some thank you notes, hopefully a pack of 5 or 10, because you don't know how many people are interviewing you sometimes, in your car or maybe in like a suitcase or briefcase, whatever you have. Not a suitcase, a briefcase. And then at the end of the interview, right, maybe you ask for their business cards or whatever it is, you know their names. You step out, you write a quick thank you note to them, thanking them for their time. Hopefully, there's something that you guys connected on, and you can write within the thank you card something personal, right? Because you don't want it to be just generic. So, you know, maybe you talked about a subject, and they talked about the same thing, or they mentioned they went to the same school or same fraternity, whatever it is. You write it in there, and then, you know, you might go back and give it back to the people in the interview, if they're still there. Or what I've done before is, you know, if there was a secretary, I just wrote the thank you notes, wrote their name on it, gave it to the secretary and asked her to give it to them. And without a doubt, every single time when I've talked to them, even if I haven't gotten the job, they have mentioned the thank you notes. And they've talked about how no one has done it before, how it's very unique. And again, it's another one of those things, right? You want people to remember your name. Hopefully for good stuff, right? Because you gave a good interview, not because you messed up or something bad happened. But the more they see your name, the more it's going to get ingrained in their mind and the more relevant it's going to be when they pull up, you know, your profile or your resume. So it's another way of, you know, give them thank you note. It has your name on the bottom, right? They see it and they're like, A shot. And then when they're, you know, when they have the resumes open, maybe there's three of them, a top three, and they're trying to choose one. Subconsciously, they're thinking, a shot. Everybody.
That's a really good point. Actually, you don't want to be remembered as the person who did something bad and be the bad example. There's something you should be aware of is when you're going to an interview, from the time you step in your car, not to put added pressure on you, it's like, that's interview time. So I've heard stories of people like, you're kind of late, you decide to like cut a car off and get into the parking structure, and like, that's the guy interviewing you, yep. Right? They're like, oh, this stupid ass young kid cut me off and, you know, whatever. And then like, they get upstairs and it's like, you're in front of me, you're not going to get that job. Or like, we have an example of another...
Before you go, speaking of being late though, so I had a professor in college that taught me this. Well, first of all, you should always be at least 15 minutes early to your interviews. Okay? Always.
And your podcast.
Well, to everything. And this is what my professor in college taught me. Okay? So he said, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
Mm-hmm.
If you're late, you're better off not showing up. Okay? Now, things happen, right? Maybe something happened. You had to be late. You got into an accident. Whatever it is, accidents happen. You know, sometimes it's fine. But barring any, you know, unforeseen circumstances, you should not be late to your interview. You shouldn't be there at the time of your interview. You should be there before your interview. You should let them know that you're there. And you should sit and patiently wait for your time. Because that you're going to leave a good impression on them. You're telling them from the get-go that you're a person that likes to be on time, that likes to be prepared. And that's what they should expect from you when you start working. So, sorry, you just mentioned being late.
No, that's perfect. That's great advice. The one bad example I want to give real quick is somebody who was applying to be like at a teaching aide or something. And it's one of the guys, again, from our fraternity, because we have this big network. And he was like the vice principal or principal at the time. So he's like, I'm going to hire this kid, right? He's going to be like a student aid teacher because he wants to be a teacher. I'm going to help him out. It'll help out his career. Basically like an internship, right? So he's already planning to hire him, and he's in the office waiting for his interview. And while he's waiting for the interview, he takes a call, and he takes the phone call. He's talking to one of his friends or whatever, and they start talking about a party they went to last night. And I heard about this secondhand from the actual principal, but he's like, oh, you know, he was in there like, oh yeah, dude, the, you know, the bitches were wild and all this stuff, and it was so great. I was super drunk, whatever. He's taking this call while he's in the waiting room to be interviewed for this position, right? And he already thinks he's a shoo-in for the position, because he was, because he knows his mutual connection, and, you know, they're just going to have this internship. So the secretary talks to him after. So he has the interview, right? The interview goes well, and he comes out and he says, yeah, you know, so, hey, you know, secretary, could you please process the paperwork? We're going to get him started. And she goes, no, we're not hiring that guy. Absolutely not. I refuse. And he's like, what do you mean? And she goes, while he was sitting here, he starts talking about the women and being really drunk and all this stuff in the waiting room. Like, this guy cannot be here. So because, you know, he had such a negative interaction, even though he wasn't really interacting with the secretary, right, her feedback was vital. And because of that, he did not get the position. So from the time, you know, like I said, you're driving there, right? Make sure you're on time. Make sure everybody you talk to, you're nice, you're courteous. Because every person, you know, it sounds scary, but every person is watching you, right? From the person who takes your valet card if there's a parking structure, to the person who takes, you know, the secretary, to the person who walks you in, to the person who gets you a coffee, right? If it's somebody different, they're all watching you. So if they hand you a coffee, say thank you. You know, you should be saying that anyways, but in the event that, you know, you don't normally do it, maybe do it and be nice. Be a little courteous.
No, definitely. And you don't know who's there, right? Like, you don't know any of the employees there. So maybe you're walking down the hall and the CEO is walking the opposite way. And you don't know who he is, and you do something or say something that you shouldn't. And now you've made a horrible impression on CEO. And even if they hire you, one day the CEO is going to see you, go like, that's that guy in the hallway. And he's going to say, fire him. It can happen. Right? So, no, that's a very good point. You should always, you know, the interview is the whole process. It's not just sitting in there and talking to someone. Is there anything else you want to talk about this topic, Matt? Or we good to end it there and continue in finances part 3 for, you know, some other part of finances? Maybe we can do savings or investments or retirements.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. You know, it gives people like a good primer on applying to jobs, why you may get rejected a lot, right? The shotgun approach, kind of what to do and how to act a little bit, hopefully how to behave. Maybe do some power poses in the bathroom before your interview. You know, if you're really anxious.
That's a good one. Yeah, before walking in, and this is from like the actual book, like, or TED Talk, one of those.
Yeah, the Amy Cuddy TED Talk.
Yeah, throw in some power poses. And we talked about power poses before. But before you walk into the interview, you know, do your Superman. Do your strong arms, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do your whatever it is, right? Do some power poses. When you're sitting at the interview waiting. Sorry, I just remembered all this stuff right at the end. When you're waiting at the interview, when you're sitting there, don't sit down with your arms crossed, with your legs crossed. You know, don't close yourself off. Because that gives your mind the, you know, you're telling your mind that you're scrunched up, that you're closed off, and you're making yourself be closed off mentally too. Maybe you're causing anxiety because your body is in a way of, you know, is in the form of like that you would do when you're fearful. So then your mind is like, should I start feeling fearful? Should I start feeling anxious? So, you know, sit open, you know, chest up, straight back, you know, maybe arms wherever, just next to you on the floor. You know, you can read a magazine or something or do something to pass the time, but try not to, you know, close off.
Yeah. Don't take any phone calls and talk about wild parties you went to.
Yep, definitely don't do that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other tips and tricks. You know, you can look up. You know, there's always little nuances. There's a million different things you can read about. But just prepare as much as you can and then go in and knock it out of the park. And if you don't, write down what you could do better next time and then do that better next time. And yep. Try to iterate every single time and improve just a little bit.
And if you feel anxious, take a deep breath. You know, if you've practiced, tell yourself that you've practiced, you've done all this, and that's it. You know, feeling anxious for something like that is very normal. I feel anxious to this day. I felt anxious when I was doing a mock interview for a student in high school. Not like, you know, not bad anxious, but, you know, just like the normal anxiety you feel because you just, you want to do a good job. I want to help them out, right? Normal to feel it. But again, you take a deep breath and you go in and you do it. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with some more finance talk and, you know, anxiety that has to do with finances in the next couple of weeks and months. But until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you guys soon.